Today in Greensboro, North Carolina, U.S. District Judge Catherine Eagles turned down a request from John Edwards' defense lawyers to drop corruption charges against him, saying that there's now, after 14 days of testimony, enough evidence to allow jurors to decide his fate. That means the defense will begin their defense next week. Edwards is, of course, accused of masterminding a scheme to use nearly $1 million in secret payments from two wealthy donors to help hide his pregnant mistress, Muriel Hunter, as he sought the Democratic presidential nomination in 2008. He faces up to 30 years in prison if convicted on all counts. Prosecutors rested their case yesterday by playing a tape of a 2008 ABC interview in which John Edwards repeatedly lies about his extramarital affair with Hunter, denying he fathered her baby, and then goes on to say he knew nothing of a well-financed cover-up.
I've never asked anybody to pay a dime of money, never been told that any money's been paid. Nothing has been done at my request. So if the allegation is that somehow I participated in the payment of money, that is a lie, an absolute lie.
North Carolina Public Radio's Jeff Tiberi has been in the courtroom. Jeff, how did Edwards react when that tape was played in the courtroom?
He put a finger to his nose, kind of the inner bridge of his nose, a couple of times for maybe a minute or two, still for the most part. His chin was buried in his fist for several long moments. He wasn't as crimson in the face as he has been during some of the other emotional testimony, so relatively subdued, not a lot of outward emotion, if you will.
Well, the New York Times is saying that this moment might be one that comes back to haunt John Edwards. Is that because next to his claim that he never lied about the money were outright lies about Riel Hunter and his relationship with her?
That's right. Here he is, the defendant, the presidential candidate turned defendant, sitting and watching a video of himself lying. And it was a weird dynamic. And, of course, the merits of this case, as the judge reminded the jury on the front end, don't have anything to do with him being a bad husband or a failed politician. They have to do with campaign finance law. But the bottom line is that there are some real human elements here. And how the jury views this man, this flawed human person, very well could come back to haunt him as they turn out a verdict.
Well, for instance, there was that moment when Jennifer Palmieri, a close friend and former spokeswoman for John Edwards' wife, Elizabeth, who died of breast cancer in 2010, she took the stand and talked about how Elizabeth had told her of fears of dying unloved, just a heartbreaking moment.
Very sad. And we've had several tearful witnesses testifying in this case. And with that moment, you almost wonder the line of questioning. It was actually under cross-examination. And the defense attorney, Abby Lowell, was asking Palmieri about this final moment, the final moments of her life. And here she is talking about how John Edwards was with his wife after all of this. And it was emotional, but not lost entirely in that emotion was the fact that the defense was trying to play up Edwards' role as a husband who had kind of stuck through it, somebody who had been forgiven. And I don't think that was entirely lost.
Well, could you tell? I mean, I'm wondering, as you sit in the courtroom and watch, can you see the jury react? Do their eyes go to John Edwards when something like this is being discussed?
That's a tough question. No, I can't tell. No one can tell at this point. This is a jury that has been very engaged for the most part. There have been a couple of instances with jurors dozing off, but for the most part, they're watching closely. They're watching the witnesses. It looks like they're reading facial cues. They're looking at Edwards. They're closely watching the defense attorneys. They're closely watching David Harbach and the U.S. attorneys, the prosecution side of things. But at this point, we haven't talked to them. Who knows what they're really thinking?
How they're taking it in. Well, just if you would for us, a laundry list, please. Tick off how prosecutors rebutted his John Edwards' claims that he did not know about the money that changed hands to hide his relationship with Riel Hunter.
They called former campaign aides and advisors. They called associates to one of the wealthy donors, Rachel Bunny Mellon, and also officials from the Federal Election Commission and the FBI. They showed more than 100 pieces of evidence, phone records and receipts from the plane receipts and receipts that were used as part of the effort to cover up the affair with Riel Hunter and move her around the country. largely circumstantial. None of the checks that we saw were made out to John Edwards, were from John Edwards, or even passed through his camp, his family, his address. So a lot of this is connecting the dots, and a lot of this, by what the law experts have said at the courthouse, really is circumstantial.
So there's been nothing where somebody told of shadowy conversations with John Edwards where he said anything about taking money from donors and doing this. That hasn't come up.
No, and he has really maintained, you know, the defense here is that this wasn't breaking the law. This did not violate campaign finance law. There have been some pieces of testimony that indicate he was aware there was an effort to move Riel Hunter, his mistress, to different parts of the country, but there has not been that smoking gun, if you will, where someone says, well, Mr. Edwards was aware of this $35,000 payment in November of 2007. There hasn't been anything that explicit.
Well, and so the prosecution rested without calling Riel Hunter to the stand. Do you have a sense of why they didn't? There has not been a very attractive picture painted of her. And will the defense call her to the stand?
Starting with the prosecution, they did not call her because she's viewed as a bit of a wild card, a bit of a loose cannon. And while they could have asked her very pointed questions under direct, you don't know what she's going to do under cross-examination. She still sees John Edwards. John Edwards has a role in raising their child together. You don't know what kind of loyalties are there, and you didn't know what was going to happen if she went on the stand. Now, some criticized the prosecution for not bringing her in. They said not putting her in that witness box leaves perhaps some question with the jurors. You know, why didn't they see her? Why didn't they hear from her? Is the government hiding something? So that's both sides of it. You certainly can see it both ways. As for the defense, I think the good to come out of it could be that, you know, maybe she humanizes John Edwards more. Maybe she testifies that the money she received was secret from him and they were trying to keep the money away from him. And again, that's maybe. But the bad could be portrayed again as a bit of a loose cannon. I would be a little bit surprised if she's called by the defense.
And in the minute we have, Jeff, what about John Edwards himself? Will he take the stand?
A mixed bag there. Some have said that, no, he will not take the stand because if he goes up there, it opens the proverbial can of worms. It puts a giant target on his back, and the prosecution will just go after him and unleash him on him. The other side of it is that a former federal prosecutor told me it's very hard to keep somebody who has spent his career convincing juries as a trial lawyer and convincing the American public as a politician off of the stand and away from this opportunity to tell his story. So it's really mixed at this point.
Fascinating. Jeff Tiberi, North Carolina Public Radio, covering the John Edwards trial in Greensboro. Jeff, thanks so much. We'll stay in touch with you.
Thanks, Robin.